Are you singing it to him now? Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary. That's your desire. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Luke 8. Luke 8 and 1 Peter 1. Luke 8, 1 Peter 1. Now, remember, we still keep trying because we've had so many problems and everything of being different things about the services until the Lord willing, next Sunday, girls, we're going to try to get down to have the girls' day between the services, you know, and so we'll start about 1 o'clock on next Sunday. And then we'll try to have the girls' service. And then one Sunday after then, somewhere, and it probably won't be like the first of the year, we'll try to have a time with the boys to be able to just talk with them. We're sorry that we have had to be delayed all of this time, but, you know, it's just been one thing after another, and also we don't want to do that. But just remember, next Sunday, the Lord willing, about 1 o'clock, we'll try to go into the back room with the girls and just have straight heart-to-heart talk and everything, you know, about ourselves and things, and just think on those things. So pray about it. Remember, pray one for another that the Lord would bless, and remember all the announcements because they've been made over and over. So just keep these in your heart. I think that's easy. Is there any announcements I need to make? I generally forget something, so just, you know, remember that. Luke 8 and 1 Peter 1. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We pray that you would just bless us now as we read your word, and you would come on the scene and speak to our hearts and give us your understanding, Father, as to be able to follow what you would have for us to do today and to speak about and to be led by your Spirit. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thine understanding. Bless the sick among us. We know there's colds and different things among us, so we ask you to just send your word and heal each one and deliver from destruction. Keep us now and guide us as we read the word. You come and speak to our hearts from the word because we believe it, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we were using this, so we decided just to read it today of what Luke 8, verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now, that's what we've been on. Those by the wayside, now these are the parables, right? Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. That which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now we'll go to 1 Peter 1 verse 7. Well, let's just go on over. Let's go over and just read verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now these are, if there's any here, I think some back there way that would probably need the evening because we won't be using the morning. We think. Yeah, we use, that's Wednesdays. Yeah, yeah, use that one. Don't need that one. Probably you can give them out if anyone need them. But now, we have been talking about faith. Faith, we've read in Hebrews many times, you know, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The prophet said for it to be an evidence, it had to be a substance. So we thank God for the substance of faith. Now that's what we want to talk about, is revelations, you know, being are born again by revelation, what we're going to try to cover this afternoon, to speak on these things. But what we were talking about this morning, that the new birth is the birth of the Word that comes from your Father, who is the Word. All right? Now, as we said, dogs don't beget cats, and cats don't beget dogs, and things like that. Now, what we're saying on that is the children of God are born by the Word of God, not by denominational ideas or thoughts. It will not produce a new birth. The prophet we gave you this morning where he said, false prophets will bring false births. Right. True prophets will bring true births or the Word. All right. So that's what we want to make sure, that we know who our Father is. Right. And your Father is made known by the display of your life. The display of our lives shows who our Father is. You know, you've heard the old saying, well, you know, you see a little child and everything, and it'll say, why, it walks just like its daddy. It acts just like its daddy. You know, why? Because that little child has learned that part from looking at it, and it's displaying what its daddy looked like. You know, and that, you know, Josh is leaning over there, but, you know, so just keep that in mind, that whatever you're displaying could show who your Father is. And what I've been trying to cover now is this one point, you know. See, that the new birth is the birth of the Word. It is not sensations, feelings. That's after you receive the new birth. See? A baby comes into the world, see, and it's laying there until you spank it, or sometimes the natural birth itself does it, you know, but still, sometimes you have to spank the child, and it gets, you know, and then in comes the life of God, I mean the life of the soul to the child, making it a living soul. Right? Then it cries. It's not in the womb crying, it cries out when it's outside. So then don't get the point confused when you say, what is the new birth? Oh, I shouted, I spoke in tongues, I go to church, I believe the message of the hour. Paul said, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you believe? Has something happened to you after, you know, you got born again? That's the thing of what I'm talking about. Don't make it before, because you can shout and cry and speak in tongues, believe the message, everything, and still be as lost as can be. But get born again, and then let God take care of all of the things, you know, of whatever he wants you to do. He's a good God, as Brother Branham said. If you want to speak in tongues, he'll allow you to speak in tongues. He's a good God. But that's not the new birth. See, the new birth is the birth of the Word. Jesus Christ was the birth of the Word, and we've got to be the birth of the Word. We were talking and reading this morning about he was the beginning of the creation of God, and we're the rest of that creation. So whatever he is, that's what we're supposed to be. And that's why that I always try to emphasize, what are you showing, or you know, what are you showing to the world that your, or who your Father is? Who are you showing the world that your Father is? You know, is it just some idea or thought? Or is it the person of Jesus Christ? Because we're supposed to be acting like him. We're not supposed to be acting like the devil. Right? But now, follow the point. I'm going to just make a few little statements. See, then the new birth has always been the same in every age. I keep emphasizing that because people want to make this be here and this be here, this over here. The new birth was the same in every age, has always been, and always would be the same because Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. He's not one thing in one age and one in another. It's only degreed, the amount of word in each age is degreed. It is not the Spirit of Almighty God that's degreed. It's the Word that's degreed. But the new birth has always been the same, and the evidence has always been the same. It's always been whether or not that you can receive the Word. All right? And see, in that then, you can accept the fact of, say, the evidence I have is I believe the message of the hour. Now you got it lined up. But see, you can say, I believe the message of the hour, and it not be lined up. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you're going to have an understanding to whatever degree you whatever it is degreed to you, that's how much you're going to be making manifest the word of the hour. We won't never all of us make it manifest ourselves in one person. No, it's made manifest by the body of Jesus Christ. And in that, then, the new birth is the birth of the word that Christ has come and lives. He lives in you because the word you have taken, as I read there, you held that word, and the Spirit comes and quickens that word and gives that new birth to you. All right? So then you're actually, now listen to what I'm driving, listen to this point. Then the new birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We'll get to it in a minute. And the prophet, he says, Christ's a mystery. What is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. All right. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's God revealing himself to you. All right. See, now, a revelation is faith. Faith is a revelation. Revelation is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the substance of the new birth is the Word of God that's made alive in your heart. It is not shouting and crying. All that's the after effect. All that's the thing that happens later. The new birth is the birth of the Word. It's God revealing himself personally to you. Now, he deals in the Gentile dispensation. He deals with individuals. All right? So it doesn't matter if mama's saved, daddy's saved, all the brothers saved, all the sisters saved. That don't make you saved. Just because you're born in this message and you've been in this church all your life, that don't make you saved. You can't be saved that way. We're going to read what the prophet has to say about it and just see then. But get what I'm saying now. The new birth is a revelation. So then we know and how to use that scripture in the 13th verse of 1 Peter there, 1. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. That continues all the way on to the change of the body. All right? So it'll always be the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? So if your birth is not right to start with, how will it continue on? You know, I mean, are you going to be part dog and part human? You know, no. That doesn't work in the natural, does it? And it won't work in the spiritual. See, that's why the prophet said there's not very many genuine new births. Why? Because people don't know what the new birth is. And the preachers don't preach what the new birth is. And the reason, now, this is just going to get on to the preachers, but let them do what they want to. The reason they don't preach is because they don't know what it is. If they've never experienced it, they don't know what it is. Because no man can call Jesus the Christ except it be by the Holy Spirit. Because you're saying what somebody else says. They don't know what the new birth is. All they've done is shouted or spoken tongues or cried or had some kind of a great feeling. And you can do every bit of that at sanctification. I quit smoking, I quit drinking, I quit chewing, I quit all that. Sanctification can cover every bit of that. And you can still be as lost can be. But when God gives you a revelation, now listen, the new birth is a substance. It is not a mental concept. We're going to read these as we go through. It is a revelation, it is a substance, and it's the substance of the person of Almighty God. Have you received the new birth since you believed? Well, I always thought it's just believing. Well, that's Baptist doctrine, see. All right. But see, you've got to be born again by a revelation. Then you got a substance. Nobody can't take that out of you. But if you don't have the substance and you got a mental confession, then you can have one thing one day, one thing another. You just flip-flop back and forth. Everybody who comes along with a greater weightier way or some emotional feeling that will touch your emotions, you'll be running good and everything's great. You'll be feeling good. But then all at once it goes down, and when it goes down, you go down. Because you don't have the substance. The new birth is not just a thought in your mind. It's not just your mind that got converted. Now you know yourself that you could say, well, I used to believe in the Trinity. But then somebody showed me, and I believe in one God now. Well, that might mean no more than a mental concept. I can't remember who it was, but I remember somebody, we were standing talking one day, and he said he was talking about predestination, and said he had this book, and this man preached, wrote on predestination. He said, boy, when I got through, he said, man, I said, that man's got it. He knows what he's talking about. Ain't no way it could be any other way than what that man said. He said, this other man gave him another book somebody else wrote on. And he said, when I read that, said, I was massively confused. He said, because that man took a total opposite view and proved his point. Well, now what are you going to do? And it can't be just what we call the weightier matter, to have to try to prove something because you got more proof. That's not necessarily it. The new birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Now listen, he's not revealing himself standing out there. He's not revealing himself as a picture on the wall. Now, he's not revealing himself as a rock. Or something that you say, well, I saw Jesus. No. It's the person.
Amen. Amen.
The new birth is the birth of the person of Jesus Christ in you.
Amen. Right.
Just like a natural birth is the birth of a baby in you sisters.
Right.
It's conceived. It's nourished. It's brought forth. Finally produces. That's exactly what the new birth is. It is not just a mental concept. Alcoholics Anonymous can do a lot of things. But you'll go back. Because you'll always have that thing that you're fighting. Whereas the new birth will bring you an experience. Now we read this morning where the prophet said, that the mystery of one of the mysteries was the baptism of the Holy Ghost without a sensation. But he didn't say the baptism of the Holy Ghost without an experience. Because he always taught an experience. I had an experience of justification. I remember when when I repented and turned around. I had an experience of sanctification. I remember when the things were taken out of me that I didn't like. I remember when I was born again. I had three definite stages of my journey. But a lot of people say, oh, I just believe it. And like they'll say, well, I'll quote Buddy Robinson now, Lord. If you don't give me the Holy Ghost, you'll find a pile of bones right here. Well, now, if it's right that there's very few new births, I wonder how many piles of bones there are that didn't amount to anything. Well, you just always tearing down everything. Well, all right, is it true? Because what is the new birth? It's the birth of the Word. You have heard something, and that is quickened into you and made alive. That's why every one of us are different. If everybody got up today and told their favorite scripture, there'd probably be hardly any of us that would give the same scripture, right? Why? Because it's related something personally. Something personal to you is related to that scripture. See, that's where when Josh come along and, you know, the Lord got a hold of him, he brought scripture and gave his experience by the scripture. Well, he didn't come along, well, now, I believe my mom and daddy, I believe my nanny and my poppy, and I want to be with them, and I want to follow the Lord and do the best I can. No. He gave scripture. He gave scripture for what? And see, the scriptures he read wouldn't say anything. Now, I'm not saying this wrong, Josh, because it wouldn't say anything to me. See? Because it was not to me. But do you have a scriptural foundation? Or do you just have a head knowledge? One of these days we'll find out. Well, I want us to find out before it's too late. Now, ever how he lived is what I'm saying, is how that you and I are supposed to live as his children. Then that'll take and cover everything about the hair, the dress, the clothes, the men's this and the this. That covers every bit of that. I don't have to preach no more on that, because that's what everybody thinks. Brother Dale, don't preach no against this and against that. If you get born again, it'll take care of them things. But if you don't get born again, I can beat you every day about it, and all you'll do is just go home and say, oh, he just got all over me today. I feel so good. And then go and do the same thing again? No. That's not deliverance. I preach deliverance. To be delivered of something. To where we can walk. All right, let me get on into the message now. Look at your notes now. Let's see. This is what I had Wednesday night, and I'm finally getting back to read a few of them. Let's let the prophet tell you some things. All right? Let him finish it up. You say you believe him. Well, I just don't believe the quotes you give. That's what Sister Barbara, she's gone to Oklahoma or somewhere, or somewhere, you know, Colorado or somewhere. Anyhow, but I was talking to her husband, and he said, oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. Islamic, you know, what you call it. He said, yeah, I believe the Bible. It's right. I said, do you believe all of it? Oh, no, now, I don't believe all of it. I said, in other words, what you think is right is the Bible. What I would read to you wouldn't be the Bible, would it? He said, I guess you're right. Whatever he wanted it, that would be okay. The rest of it just man-made. All right. But see, we do claim to believe the prophet's message. So we ought to be able to at least listen to it. Listen to what he says on expectations. Number 4 on your notes. Expectations, 1955, 10:01. Now, God is not known by intellectual faith. God is known by the experience of the new birth. Only alone. Jesus said, except a man be born again of the Spirit of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, any Bible scholar here knows that the word see there does not mean look with your eye. It means understand. You say, looking at something or other, say, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. You're looking right at it. You look with your eyes, but you understand with your heart. That's right. You can't understand it, and no man can know nothing of God until first you're born of the Spirit of God. Now listen to it. Unless you're born to the Spirit of God, you don't understand nothing. The Bible said no man can call Jesus Christ, only by the Holy Spirit is the only thing. You can say, well, I believe he's the Son of God. If you haven't been born again, you're taking somebody else's word for it. You say the Bible said so. That's right. The Bible's right. But what about you? You say the preacher said so. The preacher's right. But what about you? Mother said so. Mother's right. But what about you? It's a personal experience of your own that you've got to be born again, or you'll never understand God. Now, he understood this because he said it like this, future home, I'm pretty sure, maybe Christ the mystery. He said, I've taught three processes from the very beginning, and I've never changed in one iota. But yet you can take a lot of the quotes that Brother Branham says, and it looks like he's saying one thing, and looks like he's saying another. But now he said that he'd never changed. All right? So there's something wrong with our understanding. Now you see, I'm saying this because people on the internet system will say, yeah, but he said this, but he said this, but he said that. All right? You can show that you're born again and then baptized into the body, using the quotes of the prophet. All right? Now listen. I believe, and I've got one in here somewhere. It's on down Key to the Door, preached in 1962, 10:07. He said, you believe unto eternal life and are born again by your faith. Now, I believe that you believe unto eternal life. And the Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But just remember, be careful with that word, because it's believeth. It doesn't say he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He said he that believeth. He keeps on believing. If you stop believing, your salvation is gone. Brother Harris was covering it there a couple of Wednesdays ago there when he was preaching. Right? Because, see, you can be born again and baptized into the body. That's okay. That's fine. That's what the prophet is saying. And I believe that. But remember what he's saying. Then another time he'll say, you can't be born again without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what's he doing? He's preaching a message to try to get us to see what the new birth is. You come to the altar and you make a confession that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You reach a stage of justification. See? You repent of your sins and believe on Jesus Christ. All right? Now you're believing unto eternal life. All right, you keep that confession. And if you die before you proceed any further than that stage, you will not be in the body of Christ, but you'll come up to the white throne and be given eternal life. Why? Because you're believing unto. All right, everybody understand? You're believing, you're confessing, because maybe you don't know anymore. Maybe the church you're going to only preaches like that. And God is so great of a God to look the way he does everything. He makes intercession upon your confession. But if more word is revealed to you and you don't walk in it, what do? You lose that confession. Now, you don't lose salvation like because you hadn't got it yet. You're only confessing it until it comes. See, then when the prophet said you're born again and baptized into the body, what's he talking about? You're born again by your believing. That's fine. You can use that. He uses it like that. But then he'll turn around and talk about born again as being the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now you've got to move up with him. I like the way Brother Lee Vail said in that Generations book. He said, you got to take everything and make a statement. Something to that degree. I don't remember exact wording. Then I make the statement from my own belief. Now this is my statement from my own belief. You can take Brother Brown's message and make it say what you want it to say. But if we've got the birth of the Word, we can't say what we want to say. Right? We say whatever He says. See, then summing it all up, what have you got? You can believe unto salvation, and God will one day give you eternal life. That's where it's made like that. If it wasn't on that basis, now listen, if it wasn't on that basis, you wouldn't have any foolish virgins. You wouldn't have anybody be given eternal life. You'd only have the bride. And there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that are given eternal life. And it's because the way God made it. Because He made it then that your confession would work as long as you're confessing it. But just remember now what I'm saying. In the days of Martin Luther, he just had the confession of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, for his day, and that turned out to be the new birth of his day. Other people had a mental concept of that and never got born again. You see the difference? You understand the difference? But if their confession went on and they died in that realm of their confession, then they can be given eternal life at the white throne judgment. Now, does everybody understand that? See, because I'm trying to put together all the whole message to be coming down to where you and I can understand what the new birth is. So the prophet can call the new birth just believing. Because it does begin. Your new birth begins when you believe. And it'll be finished when you leave out of this world in a rapture. Because that's why it's being born again. Alright? So then that way salvation is an experience. But it's an experience by revelation. Has God revealed to you Himself? Now you remember what we preached a few weeks ago. A sinner can get a revelation of divine healing. And it is a true revelation because it produces. But they don't get a revelation of salvation. Because salvation is eternal. So, you remember the message I preached? Faith, revelation, faith, substance for the time. And that's what's back up above where we were reading there in Peter, because that's what those Old Testament prophets and things done. They were looking forward to a time. So they had faith for the time. And their confession sealed them in with God until a time that when He came, He could bring eternal life. And their confession was what was holding them. But you and I, see, maybe they might have to wait until the white throne to be changed or do something. But you and I don't have to do that. Because we receive a revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, in a new birth, while we're here. So we have a substance. We have eternal life dwelling within us. Well, where's it at, Brother Dale? It's in our soul. The soul is born again by the new birth. But it's a revelation personally to you. It'll have something to do with your life. God speaks according to your understanding. It's like I've always tried to explain it. There was no need of telling Naaman that Buicks and Oldsmobiles would be clashing in the streets. He wouldn't have known what you're talking about. So he said, chariots running like lightning. horse and, I mean, the chariot's running. He couldn't call them Buicks and Oldsmobiles. That was not his day. God speaks to you according to your understanding. We're going to get to it in a minute. That he can speak to the most illiterate. Now, that's what your prophet said. So then I'm not making salvation upon intellectualism. I'm making upon revelation. I'm making upon a salvation that is real. So we read in Hebrews that the world was made of things that do not appear. Where did God get the things to create the world from? He spoke it into existence, which would be greater, His spoken word, than the rock down at Stone Mountain, you know. That's a granite rock, you know, pretty solid. But yet it is nothing compared to the revelation of God's word. But you understand what I'm trying to say now, where I can move on? See, it's not just that you come to church, you come to altar, and you say, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. I like the story, and it even was told back in the Baptist, you know. I like the story of the whole bunch of little boys went to the altar, or kids, you know, and they come, you know, when they got through praying with them, each one got up and said, what did you get? The Lord saved me. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and the Lord saved me. They got to one little boy, and they said, what did you get? And he said, ain't got nothing. Now, I don't mean it wrong. He was probably the only honest one to cry. He said, I ain't got nothing. See, I had a lot of people to pray for me, and I ain't get nothing. Everywhere I went, after I come in this message, I had people praying for me all over every church I'd go to. I had them praying for me for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, you know what? I didn't have nothing. I didn't get nothing. And I never got up and said, Brother so-and-so, two of the brothers here that used to be in the church with, they said, Brother Don Ruddle told us we're saved, and we're going to stand on that. Well, where are both of them at today? I was there at the same day, and they're praying the same prayer over me. I didn't get up and confess it because Don Ruddle said it. All right. But people always want to say, Brother Branham told me. Well, like I've always said, he said, people say, Brother Branham saw me there. Yeah, he went to hell, saw people. So now you just got to determine which one that you are. Well, now that means you ought not do things like, well, why not? Is it true? He saw people in hell also, didn't he? If you paint your face and doctor it up, women, and look like what he saw in J.C. Penney, then you're out of hell too. That's where you come from. You say, well, I don't do but just a little dab. All right, go on with the message. Get off it. Listen. Get my point of what I'm trying to get you to see. God is not known by intellectual faith. All right, now let's go to the next one. Unfailing Realities, 1966-26, number 5 on your notes. The Holy Spirit comes today in like manner to present God to man, but man wants to go to church. It drowns his thinking. Now listen. I went to church before I saved. Mainly because that they made me go. Then, that was the only way to get a girlfriend, was to go to church. That's the only way my wife would date me on Sunday afternoon. I had to go to church. Well, then going up a little higher to what he's saying, that was just a natural word. He's saying you can drown your thinking by going to church. Well, what do you mean, Brother Dale? I go to church. Listen. But man wants to go to church. It drowns his thinking. He cannot fathom it. And we must learn that God is not known by intellectual conception. God is known by the new birth, by the Holy Ghost, not by any other way. Jesus, the Bible, has plainly quoted us that no man can call Jesus Christ only by the Holy Ghost. And if you've received the Holy Ghost, you don't know, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that He is the Christ, for that's the only way He reveals Himself. You're not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. He goes to Peter, you know, and after you're converted. See? All right? But now, just keep on going. Look at the next one. We've done this one many times. Patmos Vision, 1960, 1204. Page 71. Or paragraph 71. Now, ask God to, while we're talking on Revelation, ask Him to give you a revelation of this. For it can only be known by revelation. And you can only be saved by revelation. All right, now. Do you believe your prophet? Well, he changed later. Show me where he did. Get off of that junk. Too old. People come along and say, well, the prophet said this. Yeah, but he also said. Well, give me the also. Well, I don't know where it's at, but I'll find it one day. Yeah. And see, people get all confused because brother so-and-so said. I've had a lot of people to tell me Brother Brown said a lot of things that I never have been able to find with my computer. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying I can't find it. Listen. For it can only be known by revelation. You can only be saved by revelation. You have a knowledge of it intellectually, but you can't be saved until it's revealed to you. No man can call Jesus a Christ only by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. No man can say Jesus is the Christ until he has received the Holy Ghost. He might say the pastor said so, the Bible said so, them are true, the church says so, that is true. But you don't know yourself until the Holy Ghost has revealed it to you and he's become in you. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost, not by knowledge, not by intellectual. Right. Now, I quoted you the other night where he says you believe unto eternal life and are born again by faith. All right. You know the one where he's give it over and over. I have on blasphemous names. Number 8 on your notes. And number 9. Where he says the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. Listen. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith, then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the word. No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the Word because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word still God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word, when the Word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. And upon this foundation I'll build my church, you know, the Scripture upon this rock, not upon a mental concept of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. When them streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. See, that shows you would be against it, but it'll never prevail. Going down. Now, coming from the Holy Spirit, what is come? Then he will give you supernatural, spiritual faith that here at the bottom. Now, what's he talking about? Stature of perfect man, faith. Then that spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Drop on down. And when that, still in blasphemous name, and when that was number one coming to you, your mental faith right here, comes the Holy Spirit coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual revelation, then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Why? Because it is the Word. It's the Word that's birthed in you. The Word is a person. The new birth is a person living in you. It's not a mental concept. That's what's wrong with the world. They make a confession, but when they back out into the world, they don't have anything to hold them. Because it's just a confession. They don't have the Scripture right where it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, we lay up on the fact, like, oh, I just backslid. You can't backslide if you ain't never slid forward. You know, if you don't have no foundation under you, you can't backslide. You just lost the whole time. Because, see, most of our faith is a mental concept. It's not an actual substance. I remember as a sinner walking up my driveway when I knew somebody was walking next to me that was more real than anybody else in the world. That's the substance I'm talking about. He was real. He wasn't just something I imagined. Because most of you have been around me, especially the kids and all, I'm not giving over to much leeries of things that scares other people. I never was trained to be that way. I told you about it. The old home place that we lived in, they claimed was haunted. And they claimed that there was a big old plot up there that looked like blood and somebody got killed there. And all sometime during the night, this thing would pull the cover off of you and rub its cold hands on you and all kind of things like that. And we were sitting in there one night, and about that time something come down the stair steps, up the upstairs, big old tall house, and going plonk to plonk, plonk to plonk, you know. Well, my brothers never got up and left the house and sold the place. They got a flashlight and went to see what was going on. It was a wharf rat with a big old piece of popcorn in his mouth. He'd come down the steps and he'd jump from one and plonk, and then the popcorn hit the step, kaplonk. I just never was trained to be scared of stuff like that. Just remember, all these voices and all these things, all these pink elephants and all these things that everybody says, they can't hurt you. They might make you run into something, but they ain't going to hurt you. Because they're not real. I like what the man said, you know, walking down the road, and this fella's going to scare him, got up on the bank. The fella walked by, and he said, "Hey, Joe." Solace. Yeah. Said, "I'm the devil." He started shouting, "Glory, hallelujah." He said, "You didn't hear me." I said, "I was the devil." He said, "I didn't know you was that far away from me." Don't worry about voices and things you see and imaginations. They ain't going to hurt you. But there's something out there that's more real than you are. I told you the first time I saw the angel of the Lord when I grabbed the pistol and went after it. Because that's how real it was. There was a person standing looking in my bedroom. And I went after him with a pistol. But there wasn't nobody in that house. And I saw it twice more. God is a reality, church. God is not just an imagination. This thing is not being good and going to church and doing this, that, and the other. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you die. This thing is not an imagination to me. It's my life. I'm just trying to tell you what is within me. I'm not trying to preach what Brother Branham... Listen now, everybody take this wrong. I'm not trying to preach what Brother Branham said. I'm trying to preach what God revealed to me that Brother Branham said. Because that's the only way I can bring it. Some things I won't preach on because he's not revealed it. But I speak about what he's revealed to me. And a reality. Look at the next one on Christ, the mystery of God revealed, 1963:7-28. Look, Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. Listen. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Now that's something, isn't it? Do you see the simple little scripture there then of why God says that they without us cannot be made perfect? Because it's all centered around where you are. See, you're the center of the revelation. Huh? But look what he says. What is the new birth then? You say, "Well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth?" It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you Amen, see? Not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, He is the Word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. This is the revelation that the church was built upon. The church is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ in you. Now remember what the prophet said, it's not built on Peter. It's not built on Jesus. It's built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now where is the revelation of Jesus Christ today? We are the revelation of Jesus Christ. Come on, we, the bride of Jesus Christ, are the revelation of Jesus Christ. That way, then, the church, we should not have any problems. Let's go right on what he said. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. That was page 36. This is page 45. Same message. God is known by simplicity and of revelation of Jesus Christ in the most illiterate person. Now watch him. See, it's not your theology. But if it's theology, see, the illiterate couldn't take it. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock. No other Protestant rock. No other school. No other nothing but on exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth. What? He born in there and injects his own life, and your life is gone. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminence to the people that they see the very life and works and signs and wonders that he did is doing the same thing through you. Outside of that, the rest of it's not even called at all. But Brother Dale, we haven't seen you do very much. I'll be glad when Ryan gets through with the testimonies of all of you of what God has done in your life. Huh? See, then it won't be arguing because I'm not trying to make anything out of it. Look at the next, unpardonable sin, 1954. Did I give you above, below, to try to get you to see? It's all through the message. 1954, 10:24. For you're not saved by any good works. You're not saved by shouting. You're not saved by dancing in the Spirit. You're not saved by speaking in tongues. You're not saved by keeping Sabbaths. You're not saved by meat eating. You're not saved by joining church. You're not saved by water baptism. Listen. You are saved by faith through grace that you are saved, right? And if you are truly saved, listen. These other things automatically come. You speak with tongues, you shout, you cry, you praise the Lord because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You see, church, you're not saved by these things. Look at the next one, how close he gets now. Separation from sin, 1955, 02:28. Listen how close your prophet knows things. Saved by faith, that's what we believe in. And faith is not, now listen, you're not saved with faith. Read it. You're not saved with faith. By faith you're saved. Well, I'm saved with faith. No, you're not saved with faith. You're saved by faith. Because if you don't have it, you can't be with it. The thing hurts us is the thing that you ask for because it echoes in your heart or sets in your heart, and you know you believe it, and you know you got it before you ever get it. That's pretty good. See, faith is a substance, and people just, what is it? A people trying to believe to be saved. That's intellectual faith. The Word will never produce intellectual faith, but God has to produce the results. Now, if your faith is in your mind, that's not too good. Put your faith down here. Now bring it into your heart. Let your mind will reason it on. Well, now, let's see. It said this, the doctor said this, and mother said this, and dad said this, the pastor said this. Now that's what intellectual faith. Oh, I believe the Bible. Yes, sir. I think it's right. But you know that, see, you're trying to reason. That's intellectual faith. But when your faith comes from out of the intellectual realm and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit puts it in the soul and the heart, you won't ever think about these things again. These things. It's not something intellectually. It's what's revealed. It's what's revealed. It's the substance of the gospel. The Bible says the power of God, the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. It's not just something intellectually, folks. It can't be. Listen, Ensign preached in 1962, 0119. Now, man doing this shows that there is an achievement somewhere for this great cause of being redeemed. And God made that achievement. He did that. He made it so simple. It was by faith. God told, in the beginning, it has always been by faith. Today, you're not saved by works, by good things, by joining church, by their being educated. You're only saved by faith, and that's by the grace of God. You're saved by faith, by believing that God has already done it. Now, the next two gives you what if faith is. You cannot have faith without revelation without it being faith. Now, I even explained, as I said, faith for the time. That produced. That was how much substance was of faith for the time. It produced. They got a revelation that this healed, and they was. How much more is it to you and I that gets a revelation that we're saved? Have you ever asked God to reveal to you that you're saved? No, Brother Dale, I've always just believed I was. I just take it by faith. It's all right if your faith is a substance. But you're up one day with faith, down when everything's down. You're saved today while everything's going good. But tomorrow you're down and you're not saved anymore. That's not a substance. That's a mental concept. Get something that's real. Get something that you can stand on it. I give you the other one this morning. You must be born again. 1961:12-31. He said, false teachers will bring false births. True prophets will bring the word. The birth of the word, Christ. False prophets will bring false birth. The birth of churches, the birth of creeds, the birth of denominations. Then he goes on to talk about the sensations and telling the man he's got the Holy Ghost because he speaks with tongues. I've seen, he said, devils speak with tongues. Did you see, church? Children are only born by the word. You're not born again because you believe it in your mind. It's when you're believing in your mind comes the substance in your soul. Then I'm here to tell you about my Father because my Father is the Word. That's all I've ever tried to do. I don't have much to brag about on the Dale side, but I can sure brag about my Savior. I can sure tell you about what's in my heart. Look at the next one down, a spoken word. Now, for the birth of the word is Christ, not a polluted with denomination. The early church, no denomination. Just the word and spirit irrigated, brother. The God laid the word down like that, and the Holy Spirit irrigated, and there she went. She brought forth children, certainly, but this church can't do it. She's too denominated, see? She can't do it. She's got the world mixed up with her. Look what they did. Now listen. Denominations can make you feel real good by preaching real good things. Brother Dale, I come to Lula, and when I come up there, this has been told me, he said, you just make me feel bad. Well, what do you want? do we need to send Brother Dick and the musicians up to a Pentecostal church to get them some way figured out where they can work up things and we can all feel better? I'd rather go home feeling bad but knowing who I am than to go home feeling good and find out in the middle of the week I don't know who I am. Sure, you go to these churches where their music is up and they're preaching and they never say anything about your life to condemn you. They're bragging on you. Brother Al's a good brother. He just smiles. He's just so happy. I can talk about him. He don't get mad at me. The rest of you will. Oh, you just preach about mama. You remember the one, I said I gave part of it this morning. No, I didn't get down to it. You remember the Dr. Davis, the first sermon Brother Branham preached? You remember what he went to Dr. Davis? How did they do, brother? He said, the worst sermon I ever heard in my life. He said, well, they was all crying. He said, they cry at funerals. They cry at weddings. He said, but children are born by the word. Now, that was an old Baptist preacher straightening out a prophet. Now, he didn't go, well, he wasn't right. He said he was right. And he found out children are born by the word. A good father knows how to raise the children. Like Brother Gary said, if you want your kids raised, you take them to Brother and Sister Orr and that big old stick. Take them to Sister Monica's got that spoon. Well, it works. But church, what are we? What are we trying to do? I want the birth of the Word, which is Christ. Amen. Spoken Word's original seed, the last one we'll read. For the birth of the Word is Christ. That's what I just read to you. I don't want to repeat it. Not a polluted with denominations. The early church, no denomination. Just the Word and Spirit irrigated. Brother, when God laid the Word down like that, the Holy Spirit irrigated, and there she went. She brought four children. You want to see a book of Acts? Ask God to reveal to you what the new birth is. See, I'm the happiest person there is in the world because I know what the new birth is. I don't know about your salvation, but I know about mine. I wouldn't trade with you. I wouldn't trade with Brother Branham. Brother Dale. No, because I wouldn't know what I'm talking about. I'd be in another body. I'm in this one. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I've experienced. I know what I've went through. And I know what it's done for me. Amen. It's made me to the place that there's just one thing I'm concerned with. The birth of the Word. To hear the word of the Lord, to have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, as not just a thought. People are dealing. I watched that while I was back there in organized religion, and it bothered me. What time I was there, I watched it to see people. I've told you about it. We had one man. They'd go to him every time that they'd have a revival in that church, and they generally had 2 to 3 a year. And every time they'd go to that man's house. That man would come to church the next night. He would cry. He would just scream, oh, God has come to me this time. He never made it till the next night. See, church, I lived when I was back there. I heard a man one night tell about all the things he'd done wrong and named the women he'd done it with, and they was in the church. You think he wasn't sincere? But go present the word to him. Present the word to him. If they deny the word, then you know their predestination, the prophet said, is off. Now, don't throw them down just because the first time you walk up something, you know, you ever heard of William Branham? That's not saying the word to them. Approach one God and water baptism and a thing like that and let them turn it down that way. Give a person a change. But if you turn down the Word, you prove what you are. You prove you've got a different Father inside of you. Now listen, let me just say this one bit and then we'll quit. Right? How many of you remember when you served the devil? Now, you know it's going to be rough, don't you? Now, was the devil just the thoughts of your mind? Or was the devil the king of your life? Which one was it? Was he just the thoughts that you had? See, there are denominations that teach that devil is just the bad thoughts and God is just the good thoughts. Was the devil a real person? Is he? Well, just remember the old boy come from the one I'm trying to get you to see that's a whole lot more real than he is. So if you can believe the devil was real until you live for him, every day of your life you went and worked and done and all for the devil, how much more is the reality of Jesus Christ? How much more is he real than the devil? Right? See, I'm talking about a substance, folks. I'm not talking about a quote. I'm talking about a substance. See, that was what I was when I was in the Baptist church. I had read the Bible. I don't know how many times, because that was the basis in the Baptist. You had to read it ever so often. If you didn't, you didn't get your little gold star, you know. What are you laughing about, Sister Gail? Y'all got them too. Oh, y'all got the pens. Okay. But listen. When I read that Bible, I wanted to see God. Now, that was desire in my heart when I was in the Baptist. I'd pray and I'd say, Lord, couldn't it be something to where that we could have something like, you know, the Bible? We believe you. We believe you to be real. We believe you to be our healer, our Savior and all. But where are you living at? See, I knew something was wrong. Like I told you, I was a bad egg back then, sitting in the deacon board and telling those deacons that some of them wasn't living right. Because, see, church, it meant something to me because I was looking for something. When Brother Moat began to tell me about a prophet and the things and the signs and wonders that took place, to like my wife even referred one day, and she said, well, there's one thing about it. If he'd done all the things he'd done, he had to be a prophet. Because we were just reading and listening to tapes and things. But you see, I began to see that there was a hope that I could find the God that I had been looking for. That I had prayed to and cried to and saw things happen. Ordained as a deacon, 23 years of age. Listen, church, all that Brother Moat told me and all I heard Brother Branham say only stirred me up to find that God. But I saw if there was a chance, that there was one thing about it, that man saw God. Like I've always said, if you prove Brother Branham was the biggest hypocrite in the world and married 40 times and all kind of garbage can, he still, by his words, brought me to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I know it can't be done, but I'll just say it that way. Because that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to prove he wasn't here, trying to prove he wasn't there. The people of the message are trying to prove that. But you see, I had a touch of God. And I wanted more. I heard about him. Faith cometh by hearing. And I begin to pray. And I've never prayed for signs and wonders. It's always been amazing. I've always prayed for God not to do things around here at the church a lot of time because I didn't want it built upon just an emotional thing or some kind of a thing that Brother Dale said or something that went on. That's why I've been very reluctant to even give my testimony to Ryan to put in his thing. All my life is my testimony. But I don't want to brag about something about myself. But I began to get glimpses of a person. And I knew the church world didn't have it. I was against them while I was there. I told you, an old deacon one night looking at women getting off of the bus, and I got on to him. I said, "You're not be looking like that." He was old enough to be my daddy, and the deacon way over me in the church. He looked at me and said, "Bible says look on God's heritage." I looked back at him. I said, "It don't say lust after it." Because I didn't believe in it. Because you see, something had happened to me down in there anyway. I was longing to see a person. But when Brother Branham began to talk about that person, I began to pray. "God, you're real. Come into my heart. I'm not going to do like all these others and just say I come into the message so I know I'm saved." For 2 years I sought God, praying and crying out before Him for an experience that I could stand upon. Brother Moat said, "What are you wanting?" I said, "I don't know, Brother Moat. You know better than to think that I want tongues or this or that or the other or see visions or some kind of a something." I said, "You know better than that." He said, "Yeah, I know it." He said, "But you're just trying to figure something out." And he said, "Leave it alone." He said, "It'll come to you." Brother Gary can relate to this. He'd tell me about things. I said, "Leave it alone, Brother Gary. Because, see, you don't listen, folks. You can do all you want to. You can repent. You can cry. You can do everything. But until God comes down to you and speaks to your heart by revelation, you do not have the new birth. And when He does, you'll know it. And all of your crying and all of that, you say, I sought God. The Bible says you didn't. The prophet said you didn't. Said God was seeking you. For 2 years, I prayed and studied and sought God. And in that 2 years, I would feel that person walking beside of me. I saw that person one night that I got the gun and went at it. It was so real. But that still wasn't a new birth. That wasn't the new birth. Brother Moat said, "Quit looking for any kind of signs and look to the Word." When I saw that one night, I saw who He really is. He's the Word. Because that was what was birthed in my heart. The Word. I knew then it wasn't no mental concept. I knew it was reality. "Well, Brother Dale, did you feel much?" Now listen, I'm just as honest as I can be, because I've tried always to be weak. When the Holy Ghost came to me and I realized what the new birth was, I didn't feel much better the next day than I did the day before. I just always try to be honest with you. But you know what was settled? It was settled in my heart, my soul, my being, of who He was. And I just started walking toward Him. It was just a settled peace that I knew that that person that was in the book of Acts now lived, not just in William Branham, but lived in my heart. I saw Him as a reality of a person. That's why when the seals broke to me, I didn't preach Trinitarianisms. That's why God could reveal to me and show me that here stands a lamb with a book in his hand and out there goes a white horse rider. And I began to study that. And why didn't everybody else catch it? Because I read the same page where it says, "Look at him. See that guy riding off? The Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, see there, anytime you got two people, said one of them's got to be the devil. See, that's my experience. All the way through my life, it's been an unfolding of the Word. That's all I can tell you today. Pray and seek God. Study the message. Listen to the prophet. Sitting in the woods yesterday, listening to two tapes while sitting there deer hunting. Plug that little iPod y'all gave me in one ear, put my old game ear in the other one, working halfway here, and just sit there and enjoy it. I have went to sleep, woke up in another tape. I don't mind telling you, I went to sleep playing one tape and wake up and Brother Brown be talking. I said, well, that's not the same tape. I didn't want to sleep. Click my little thing, look, and it's over on the next message. But there's one thing about it. They say you can hear while you're asleep. So maybe that's helping me too. But listen, church. Jesus Christ is a person. He's not an imagination. He's a person. Now, do you believe there was a real man? This is, come on, brother. Do you believe there was a real man walked the shores of Galilee? Do you? You believe it was a real man named Jesus walked the shores of Galilee? Well, you know that same real man is living in your heart by the new birth. The same man that walked the shores of Galilee is living in your heart by the new birth. Born again by a revelation. See, because it'll never end. The revelation can't end because it's God. So it's the opening of the Word, isn't it? Come on, let's stand. Think on these things. Read what the quotes that I give you the prophet. It's not intellectual content. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth that goes all the way up the stature of a perfect man. Comes out to the headstone. The headstone is revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth. We walk off of this earth in a rapture. The rapture and all is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Because that quote I gave you where it said the bride will be waiting on the revelation of the rapture. Somebody's going to be standing here and say, I'm already changed. But then it'll be made manifest. Number 120 in the red book. Anybody have a need? You're calling me a breath. Oh, you heavy laden. Anybody have a need? Do you know him as a person? Because if you don't, somebody talk you out of what you believe. If you just got a mental concept of the message, people can talk you out of it. But if you got a revelation, you can never be talked out of it. Me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and burden light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and bogged down with care, do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, He will give you rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, Jesus said, and I'll give you rest. For out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Children are born by the Word, and they're begotten by a Father. Meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden light. The mountain dark with sin and shame, stumbling the hell's consuming flame. By the powers of sin, deluded and afraid, hear the tender shepherd, come to me and rest. Do you know that person? So that person lives in you by the new birth. That's why Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he was there is what he is now. Come, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. Have you by temptation often conquered them? Has the seeds of wheat brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you claim his grace. He will give you rest. Oh, come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon. Hear me and be blessed. For I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. See what I'm talking about? He's a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. God revealed in you the word that you've heard. The prophet delivered the word, just like the Lord Jesus sowed the seed. See, this message had never been preached. This end time message, not by the apostles, they preached a partial realization. But then this prophet had to sow the seed of the entire Bible. What he said in spoken word, original seed. When he sowed that seed, it was the ability for you and I to come forth. And what we say about it and how we act about it proves what we are. Proves whether we're the children of God. Because we believe his message. What about it? Anybody have a need?
Just love. Let me pour into your beauty, see wonderful words of life.
What kind of words are these?
Words of life and beauty.
What do they do?
Things we and beauty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Wonderful word of life. Blessed one gives to us wonderful words of life.
Sinner lift
to the loving heart. Wonderful word of life.
Also
freely given.
What's it doing?
Beautiful word, wonderful word, wonderful words of life. Beautiful word, wonderful word of life.
Sweetly
echoes the gospel call, wonderful words of life. And peace to all, wonderful words of life.
Who is he? What does he do?
Beautiful words, wonderful words of life.
think about him. Think about him this week. And just pray and ask God to reveal himself to you, to show himself to you. And think about him as a person. See, then we don't have to holler up into heaven somewhere to try to find him. You can talk to him while you're laying upon your bed. You can talk to him while you're working. You can talk to him anytime. And just have a wonderful time talking to your Father. I would love, as Brother Brown said, I'd give everything in the world I had for my daddy to be sitting here today and listening to this message. Everything I could borrow or whatever, just get my daddy to sit there and listen to this message. Yeah. But see, I can't do it. But my Heavenly Father is the one that gave the message. So I know who my Father is. He is the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your people. We ask you now that you just be with everybody on the way home, Father. Give a safe journey. Let us all just think about you. And to realize that we're born again by a revelation. And that it never stops because it just keeps on being born again as we receive the revelation until we walk into the revelation of Jesus Christ and be made manifest upon the earth. Forgive our sins. Forgive the thoughts of our minds and, oh Lord, and just cleanse us. Make us to walk in you. Have your way with each one. Touch the sick. You said you promised it and we believe you. Just have your way now in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Pray one. Make sure now everybody that's in the play, go downstairs.
Same time, that's just 3-4 times.